Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
It is my testimony that the border is secure, and we are working every day, day and night, to increase its security. It is my testimony that the border is secure. It is my testimony that the border is secure. It is my testimony that the border is secure. It is my testimony that the border is secure.
Somebody whack him on his bald head there.
Border is secure.
That's the message we're seeing everywhere. That everything's calmed down. The chaos is over. The border is secure, John.
It is my testimony.
It was an exaggeration.
An exaggeration, huh?
John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. Well, there are stories circulating that the migrants did want to get here before Title 42 expired. And now that it expired, allegedly, we have tougher penalties if you're caught crossing the border illegally, and that is deterring them. So they're claiming the border encounters dropped significantly over the weekend from what we saw late last week. Do we believe this? I don't know. I'm often just torn between these words they use, encounters, detentions, apprehensions. It's kind of confusing what it all means, right?
Well, you know what? Steve Gregory, he's very confused much of the time. But I think on this issue, you're going to be
some clarity from Steve Gregory?
Provide clarity. That's where we
I'll
are
try.
Now. We're going to Steve Gregory for clarity.
That's how bad it gets now.
Yeah. A little self-admission there.
So tell us.
I mean, you've covered this story many years. And of course, Arizona, where you were.
Yeah,
and
that's right. So I stay in touch with, I still have sources in Border Patrol and law enforcement down in that area. And I stay in touch with them, did over the weekend. And yeah, there was a significant drop in these illegal encounters, both between the ports of entry and legally at the ports of entry.
All right, I got to stop you there, though. What does it mean, an encounter?
An encounter is just like, for instance, let's look back.
You just see a guy. Okay, that's an encounter. Mark it
down.
Well,
an encounter is like when they, for instance, I did a really long chat with Chad Bianco, sheriff of Riverside County, in just last week. He went on a horseback tour with the sector chief of the El Centro sector, right there just east of the San Diego line. Right. And they came upon 500 migrants, a group of 500. Well, it was one of those where they just kind of walked up and they just kind of met each other. That's an encounter.
Oh, all right. So there's nothing legal that happens.
Not necessarily. And then so when they...
More like a sighting.
Yeah, if yeah, exactly. And then you're like, well, I'm, you know, what are you doing here? Do you realize you're in the U.S. right now? Or and then they try to ascertain. If it looks like that they were illegally crossing the border, then they take action. If it says, oh, we got lost or, you know, it's really
up to
the
tour group that got lost.
It's up to
the border. Did you ever wander around a country and get lost and wind up in another country?
Middle of the desert at the border.
West L.A.
West L.A. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So the encounter thing is, it just means that that's their first encounter with somebody, because the disposition is going to be, okay, are they asylum seeker? Are they illegal crossing? Do they have drugs on them? Then they have that disposition. Then are they going to be criminally detained or detained for criminal charges? Are they going to be detained for immigration hearing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the encounter is just the initial contact. That's all.
Okay.
All right. But
so what are you hearing then about what's going on in the days since the big expiration of Title 42?
So these encounters, if you will, that's what they're calling them. The encounters are down, and the number of people trying to get in through the San Ysidro Port of Entry was significantly lower than they've had in the last couple weeks, most of whom were turned away because they didn't have that appointment on the app, the official federal app, and or they didn't have an immigration hearing already established, or under Title 8 now, they did not try to seek asylum in an adjoining country to their home country.
Okay, so you're talking about the people coming over since the deadline passed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when they say it was down to 6,000 or 4,000 mm-hmm. a day, you're saying many of those have been turned back.
Right. Many of those had been turned back.
Now, the ones who pre-registered on the CBP1 app, mm-hmm. they get to come in.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So... normally, that's not a legal way to get into the country. See, what they've done is they've changed the requirements. So you make an appointment to be an illegal alien, John.
You're splitting hairs now.
and then you get an appointment 40 light years away.
Right, exactly.
What I'm saying is...
But that's what we said they were going to do. Well, they're going to legalize the illegal situation, right?
But that's why this number is nonsense, because what they've done is they spread the word to a lot of people. Obviously, not everyone gets the message, but thousands and thousands got the message. You go on the app, you fill out the form, you're like pre-approved for a loan. In this case, you're pre-approved to cross the border, and you can stay here. And yeah, someday in 5 years, maybe you'll show up for a court hearing, except you probably won't.
Well,
and you're here for good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of layers here to this problem. And you're absolutely right. So but that's also what the lawsuit and what the injunction. Remember, the federal judge that put the injunction in place says, no, you can't be releasing them into the country yet. Mm-hmm. But now they have that court date and that court hearing. But in the meantime, people are still allowed to be released after they've either made their appointment, they've, you know, contacted a border or customs official, and then they're released.
Yeah, I know. But I think the public, and by this time, probably somebody trying to sort this out has already driven off the road and hit a tree. What people have to understand is there's still a huge number of people coming over the border, but what the Biden administration has done is create a system to give them
status.
Legal entry status.
Right. They're not considered
right.
an illegal.
So they're not counted as illegal. Right.
On every other day and every other year, they would have been considered illegal.
Now, you notice that we never got that number.
Of CBP1 app.
Yeah, the people, that
people who
across.
Were right.
Yeah,
never
right.
got that number.
This is really tricky what they've done.
Yeah, no, it's there were some great PR minds at work here.
But that all being said, there were over the weekend maybe less people massing up at the borders
yes.
for some kind of entry.
And let me tell you why, too. There's also another issue going on, and that is that the rumor mill and what's been going on. And border agents told me they were literally going down the fence and explaining individually or to families, listen, folks, this is what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to come in. So they were really warning a lot of these people that are hanging out near the fence. They were trying to tell them ahead of time, this is not going to be as easy as it used to be. Or
but
it's
these
not
are
be
people
like
who are trying to enter through a formal process. What about if they hear that and they just run somewhere and enter the country illegally?
So you know what they're being told now? The cartels are now infiltrating up into these little clusters and camps and encampments along the Tijuana, northern Mexico border. They're telling them to try to get themselves over to Texas. They're offering to get them over to Texas or Florida because the governors there will fly them anywhere they want in the country.
Oh, to get them out of Texas and Florida. Yes. Right.
So that's the new thing now.
So is that true? I mean, we know they're sending buses, but is anybody just can do that?
Well, yeah, because if you illegally cross in there and you become an illegal immigrant.
Oh, illegally cross.
Yeah,
right.
You illegally cross, you get into the country there, they're gonna ship you, you know, that like they've been doing in this situation.
Would you say it's still easiest to illegally cross in Texas than it is Arizona or California?
You mean physically? Or?
Yeah, physically, illegally get in like the Rio Grande and all those parts.
Oh, no, Texas is brutal. And they had some problems over the weekend because they had a lot of rain and tornadoes and flooding.
Well, but Abbott has basically set up his own border patrol, right?
Right, exactly. He's got that special National Guard border task force or whatever, border group. Yeah, so they're taking it a little differently. And you notice the governor here has been quiet about his role in all of this. They did send a few hundred troops from Camp Pendleton to go down as part of the deployment, the 1,500 deployment federally. And then they're bringing out some from Camp Lejeune, and they're going to be here for 90 days because there is still intel that's informing Border Patrol that they're expecting a surge in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. They're expecting a big surge because let me tell you what's happening. The cartels, they're very, very smart, and they're in figuring this out. They're trying to do the workaround right now. Okay, how do we get around this? What do we do? Do we need to reopen the artery over there, you know, in the Smuggler's Gulch area? Do we need to go back over to Campo and those areas over in Campo? You know, then now they're regrouping because they're losing a ton of money, smuggler money. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to figure this thing out. And I'll tell you right now, they are mapping out the countermeasures.
Right. We're always reacting to their aggression.
Exactly.
They set the tone, and then we have to respond.
And make no mistake, Title 8, everyone thinks Title 8's some new thing. Title 8's been around for decades.
Yeah.
But it had never been enforced because it was always deemed by lawmakers as inhumane.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, think about it. You can't come into the country till you've tried another country first.
I see.
Remember?
And this is for everyone outside of Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to go to a neighboring country.
Presumably Mexico.
Okay. And what's the rule on Mexicans trying to get in now?
Well, if they seek asylum, they better have a good reason to seek asylum. But Title 8 doesn't necessarily apply to them because there's no adjoining country backwards.
Right, exactly. So if you get an asylum seeker here, they have to convince a customs
trained customs agent.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how often do the custom agents send them back immediately? Or are they allowed to wait 5 years for their asylum hearing?
It really depends, and I don't have a stat on that because that's something that they don't really give you.
Right.
Because a lot of that is confidential. A lot of they'll give you a hard number, but they won't tell you the circumstances. And I will tell you, most of the people that are being granted asylum from Mexico are those being persecuted because of their sexuality, their LGBTQ status, because that's being a persecuted, protected class. And a great many of them are being granted asylum.
That is a great percentage of Mexican asylum seekers?
I don't say a great percentage, but there's been a big number of those being granted because of that.
Being told to say that as a way to...
that's what I'm saying. That sounds like one of those cover stories to shut up any criticism.
And don't you remember there was that big push for a while that cartel violence was part of a condition of getting asylum? And that was remember that tone for a long time, for a couple of years? It was all about...
Well, they've always got one.
Fear of cartels.
I figure all of it's BS. They just changed the story. They have a new cover story that they think is going to be more effective against any criticism.
You know
that
what?
They could use as a shield.
Maybe this week or soon, I will come in, and what I'm going to do is actually get the asylum law.
Okay.
And I think we're going to break it down, and we're going to go through piece by piece exactly what the conditions are to seek asylum.
Yeah, I thought it was mostly the government has to be after you.
It's religious persecution mostly. And remember, it was created following the Holocaust. Asylum laws.
I know, but how many Mexicans are being religiously persecuted? The country is largely a monolith of Catholicism.
Sure. And that's the whole point. So who's getting
persecuted?
Well, again, usually those because of their sexual orientation.
Well, how many are those?
Yeah, I don't know that right now.
It's not like they're coming from the Middle East where there's more of that.
Well, here's the thing. So those encounters that Sheriff Bianco and the sector chief had the other day, Of the 500, none were from Mexico.
Yeah, it was all Central South America, was it?
Nope.
What else?
Most of the Middle East, Russia.
Oh, great. We really got the whole world, Bart.
Yeah, wow. That's what he said. He said it was there were no one in that group was from Mexico.
All right.
I can understand fleeing Russia, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Sure. But there's a legal mechanism for that one.
Yeah. There is, yeah. All right, Steve, thank you very much for that update. And some clarity from Steve.
There was clarity there.
There was clarity. More coming up.
Partial clarity.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere. iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, listen along with the record-breaking numbers of John and Ken fans who listen to the app. The John and Ken podcast, it's called John and Ken on Demand. It's posted after 4 o'clock, same show, and you can catch up on whatever you missed. Big news this afternoon, a special counsel has released a 4-year investigation and says that the FBI is biased, had no factual evidence of any collusion between Trump and Russia, and had no right to investigate Trump over it.
A little late.
Yeah. Little late.
Might have used that information 3 years ago.
It's amazing they needed 4 years to find that there was no evidence. No evidence. Not a little bit of evidence. No evidence. 4 years it took to see nothing. This is going to give him another big boost.
Yeah. And why isn't that story where all those former intelligence people signed on to that letter that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation campaign? That should be a bigger story, too.
Of course.
Really, if we're in a different universe and everything was reversed and Trump was Biden and Biden was Trump, holy cow, the media would be all over this like unbelievable.
I'm watching CNN cover this story when they were the biggest purveyors of fake news and Trump called it and he was correct. They pushed that Russian story more than any other media outlet, relentlessly, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It was an absolute mind-blowing obsession.
Yeah.
And it was a hoax every day of the year, an absolute hoax.
And it was brilliant because in 2016, all those reports came out that the Russians were trying to influence the results of that campaign where Trump beat Hillary. So 4 years later, it's easy to say, well, they're at it again. That Hunter Biden laptop, that's fake. That's a Russian plant story.
Well,
that was a good idea because it got gobbled up by a lot of lesser media thinking, they know what they're doing over there.
The fake report was financed by the Clinton campaign.
Yes.
And it worked. It didn't get her the presidency. That's what's hysterical. He was chased. Trump was chased down for 4 years and tortured, but Clinton never got what she wanted. Amazing. Oh, what a psycho world we're living in.
Back to the border situation. Some stories are popping up, and they're kind of interesting. It seems to be that there's a problem here with the homeless versus the migrants. There are reports that in upstate New York, some homeless vets are being displaced because they need the motels for the incoming migrants. Many were not told specifically that this was for the migrants, but they do understand from local officials that appears to be what's going on. We also had a story from upstate New York, too, that a Florida couple who had booked a whole bunch of rooms at a hotel in Orange County, New York, not Orange County, California. There is an Orange County in New York State, that they were told, we're sorry, we're going to refund your deposits. We need these rooms.
Well, they believe
the same reason may be to house migrants.
We know the hierarchy now. Illegal aliens are higher up on the victim ladder than homeless veterans and more important than people getting married. Now, illegal aliens are at the very top of the pyramid of people that we're supposed to cater to and fund and make sure are comfortable.
Because what happened was migrants are being bused from Texas to New York City, and now New York City is busing some of them to upstate New York. Hotels in Westchester and the Hudson Valley are seeing migrants suddenly being dropped off.
So the guys who fought for us in our stupid wars got their brains scrambled, end up homeless on the street. They finally get a roof over their head in a motel, and they're kicked out for illegal aliens who barged into this country and broke the law.
That's what a
great land we are. And everyone else is just scrolling, staring at their screen, scrolling, 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 not paying attention, not caring. None of it matters.
this poor couple kept calling the hotel. We were on hold for 45 minutes, and ultimately we were said, we can't do anything for you. Goodbye. And they hung up on us.
Yeah, they don't care. You can't get anybody to care about anything anymore. They're probably getting a big check from the government to house the illegal aliens, and it's more than what this couple was paying for their wedding.
Another hotel in New York City, apparently the cops were called at 4:30 in the morning. This is West 31st Street and 7th Avenue. A bunch of drunken scuffles involving some migrants who apparently got pretty worked up in the first days here.
That's right. Americans, get the dial tone.
That's right.
you can bitch all you want. Doesn't matter. They're going to block your email. They're not going to answer the phone. If you show up in person, they'll just call the cops on you.
All right, speaking of the homeless, when we return, well, they're saying that the homeless encampment there in Beverly Grove neighborhood of Los Angeles, very close to Beverly Hills, which is why it got a lot of attention, San Vicente Boulevard, is pretty much completely cleared. We'll update you on that and more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With some great clueless quotes from Katie Yaroslavsky, who's making a run at Janice Hahn for dumbest politician in L.A.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Thurow Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. It is John and Ken on Demand, the podcast on the iHeart app, and you could hear everything you missed.
Oh, we spent a lot of time in the last few weeks taking a look at this homeless encampment, which grew, and the reason it got a lot of attention is because it was very close to Beverly Hills.
And
the national and international media picked up the story because, oh my God, Now the homeless are in Beverly Hills. And they're not. Technically, they're in Beverly Grove neighborhood of Los Angeles, but they're close to the border. So that's what amped up the coverage on this one, plus a naked woman on a couch.
Right? Yeah, I would say, yes, the nude woman on the sofa.
That got all of our attention because that was a headline on one of the TV station websites.
That's classic media nonsense, isn't it? It was not in Beverly Hills, but they lied, basically. All the media that wanted to get cheap hits lied and said, oh, Beverly Hills. No, it's not. In fact, the side of the street that had all of the homeless people was specifically in L.A. There was none on the Beverly Hills side because Beverly Hills doesn't put up with it.
Right.
They come up to you right away and say, hey, we got a place to take you. You got to go now. And so the homeless flee across the street.
So is that the... I'm wondering what you were talking about before we took the break. The quote from council member Katie Yaroslavsky. She acknowledged that all of the tents that made up the San Vicente encampment were on the L.A. side of the street. None were on the side that's in the city of Beverly Hills. Asked why that is, she said,
we're providing housing.
That is a big, bloated, stinking lie, Katie Yaroslavsky.
That's what I thought you were saying.
And you know it's a lie. The reason is Beverly Hills offers them shelter immediately, repeatedly, and then the homeless people get sick of it, and they cross the street. In L.A., I mean, we've had Dr. Ken Wright on twice, and he's talked about calling in complaints, including to your office, Katie Yaroslavsky, for 2 years. For 2 years. The naked woman on the sofa, she was naked there for a while. She was naked every day, Dr. Wright said. In fact, she helped set fire to his building. So you are a complete stinking liar, Katie. An absolute liar.
Here's the rest of her quote.
When you have disparities in terms of how cities are addressing a problem, you're going to have people naturally moving to one side of the street or being told to move to one side. No.
So the Beverly Hills mayor was asked to respond to this. This is Julian Gold. He said, for its part, Beverly Hills spends hundreds of thousands of dollars providing services, including shelter, to those who need it. Responsibility we take very seriously. But John was right. They do this aggressively. Maybe a couple of guys take the housing, but others say, I'm just going to go to the L.A. side. They'll leave me alone over there.
Yeah.
Because with the housing, I got to put down my drugs and my alcohol, or I can't bring my dogs in or whatever.
Beverly Hills has some units. I think they're in West Hollywood. And they don't have too many homeless people because most of them flee the city because they constantly go up to you. The ambassadors, they go up very nicely, peacefully, respectfully, and say, you got to move on. Hey, anything you need some shelter, need medical help, need rehab help. But and the homeless don't want to hear it. They want to be laying there or rotting from their xylazine injection.
So the Times did this long story, which was published over the weekend, on the encampment that we're talking about. Challenging was the word they use. A challenging West Side homeless camp drew complaints. Now its residents are getting housing. And you read that headline in the beginning of the story, it sounds like it was a rescue operation by Mayor Bassetti
right.
An Inside Safe program. And something I noticed right off the top, everybody talked to the same guy. Do you remember I mentioned on Friday I heard a report? And there was some guy who was very chatty who got housing, but he came back to help a friend. Mm-hmm. This is him, Stephen Stein, 52, by the way. He's been homeless on and off since 2014 when he lost his apartment in West Hollywood.
Wait a second. What were the circumstances of the lost apartment in 2014?
It doesn't say.
That's 9 years ago.
The next sentence is, during the pandemic, he was trying to find housing for his mother and father, but the plans fell through.
What does that mean?
And then
mean?
A driver crashed into his SUV he'd been living in and totaled it. So we heard, I know, this is what I mean. They cherry-picked this guy, but he's still quite the loser.
And they cherry-picked the facts. How does someone lose their apartment 9 years ago and not get another one?
Yeah, that's never covered.
Is it possible that he wasn't working and that's how he lost the apartment? That he wasn't paying his rent and he got evicted? Maybe that's it. Otherwise, wouldn't you have money to put down for rent in a new apartment? And what do you mean plans fell through? What kind of plans? What does he do for a living?
There are no plans.
What's he doing in his SUV?
Of course, they like him and put him at the top of the story because it sounds like this was a rescue. I needed to go off the streets. Even though it's far away, I wanted to give it a shot. At least it's a door to lock and a shower. I can sit. I can concentrate again. It's hard to do that out here.
Far away from what?
Concentrate on what? What you've been doing the last 10 years since you lost your apartment?
You arbitrarily put a tent down on San Vicente Boulevard. Arbitrarily, you picked that spot. That doesn't make you a legal resident. You're not paying taxes. You don't have a stake in that neighborhood. Well, it's far away from where? It's far away from what? Well, you just stopped walking one day or you passed out? God, I'm so fed up with this nonsense. Oh, these writers. These writers ought to go to journalism prison. Summer Lin and David Zanizer. What a couple of tired, progressive hacks.
This is one major stinking gaslight article about how the problem really exists and what everyone's... And trying to make Beverly Hills look bad because they don't provide housing the way we do.
How stupid does Summer Lin and David Zanizer think we all are? How stupid do you think we are that we notice you don't write exactly what this guy was doing for 9 years since he lost his apartment?
And then they found a very sympathetic store owner by the name of Mima Adams, who runs Mima's spiritual shop. What do you think?
Well, there you go.
Is that she selling tarot cards?
Yeah.
She says, I don't know how they're going to be able to keep them there. I hope and pray it's going to be permanent housing for these people because it does break my heart to truly see them out there in the conditions they lived in as well.
It breaks your heart because they won't go to work and earn some money so they could rent a real apartment.
Oh, you didn't see that part? They can't find a job because they're homeless. No one will employ them, John. So they're stuck in a loop.
That's actually not true. If you go to the right agency, they'll find you some kind of work.
Oh, James Boss said that. He's age 30. I can't get a job out here. They don't want to hire somebody who's homeless. That eliminates that barrier now that he's got some place
to go. You know what? James Boss is nuts. He's 30 years old. Wait a second. Look at the one good thing about all the illegal aliens coming over the border. A lot of them are young guys. They get jobs real fast.
They do.
Yeah, yes. No, they're working.
Don't even have papers, right?
They're working in construction all over the place. They're working in gardening jobs. They're hauling things. They're doing a lot of heavy lifting. What a James Boss. In fact, I stopped at a strip mall the other day to pick up some food, and there were five guys standing in the parking lot waiting to get picked up to do some work.
Oh, those guys are back? I haven't seen those guys in a long time, like outside the Home Depots and stuff.
It was a strip mall on Santa Monica Boulevard, and it looks like they were standing around together. And it looks
That might be an economy indicator, because I think a lot of that faded away when the economy picked up so much that the workers were scarce, right? I know people are trying to do remodeling and construction, but I can't find any workers. So
These illegal immigrants are coming over the border. They don't speak the language. They don't have any money. They just went through a long trip and terrible trauma. The first thing they do is they go looking for work, even if it's standing on the street trying to flag down a construction truck and say, hey, you need a hand? Need an extra set of hands? I'll carry stuff. I'll lift stuff. That's what they do. Well, I don't think James Boss is doing that. Give me a break. Right.
When we come back, in regards to the El Segundo Times and their coverage of the homeless, who's this reporter? This was Ruben Vives, who did a story that it's taken the Times, I don't know how many years, to finally admit and recognize this, that people who live in the suburbs don't want you bringing the homeless there, and it doesn't matter, John, what race they are or what politics they have.
That's right.
They just realize this. NIMBYism crosses all of these.
That's called
normal. We've got angry Asians and Latinos. I thought it was just angry white people out there in the suburbs.
Right. You know, the story was originally commissioned as angry white people, but then the reporters went out and said, no, actually, it's angry
Asians.
That's not
what's out there.
No,
it's everybody's angry.
Everybody's pissed because nobody normal wants to live with homeless people in the neighborhood. Nobody. The color of your skin doesn't matter.
I know. And eventually they paint this as, well, I've got mine, therefore I don't care about you. It's that kind of thing?
I've got mine, and I don't want them fouling the neighborhood that I worked hard to get into. Yes, you're right.
We'll run through this amusing story when we come back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, so you got this LA Times story, which ran the other day by Ruben Vives, a staff writer. They've come to the conclusion, or at least decided, that we're going to at least do a story to recognize it. NIMBYism over homeless housing spans race and politics, fired up by suburban protests. And it starts with a woman named Wilma Wu.
Ooh.
Wilma Wu, who walked into a community center in Hacienda Heights. She was feeling upset that the powers that be were trying to force her tranquil town to bear the burden of the county's homelessness crisis. Keep this in mind. Remember Bassetti said, Karen Bassetti, I think right after she was sworn in and even the days after that when she introduced her Inside Safe program, that this is going to have to happen in all communities. For now, they're sending these homeless people into these motels in communities where, how could I put it, they're not really protesting much because maybe it's not a big change.
Yes,
she's hinted that eventually they're going to have to come to a hotel or a building near you. And that's kind of the theme here. But everything you need to know about this is encapsulated in one paragraph. A professor of political science and public policy at UC Riverside by the name of Karthik. Yeah, that's his first name, Karthik.
Karthik
Ramakrishnan. And he said, well, this is part of becoming a suburban American. Sadly, this is what you assimilate into.
Sadly.
You see other versions of this in other parts of LA and Southern California. Higher income communities are able to deploy various tactics to prevent new developments that would change the character of the area or enable low income residents to come in.
You got it, Karthik. Absolutely right.
Karthik is right on.
Everybody,
he worded it, though, like a real academic.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Well, his job is not a real job. He doesn't do real work. Actually looking askance on suburban homeowners for trying to keep their neighborhood clean of homeless people who are largely drug addicts and mental patients. You know, if that's what Karthik thinks, I think the people in the neighborhoods have two letters for him.
And the thing you have to realize here that the Times doing this story, because it's like, it's not just in Asian Americans' neighborhoods. It's happening in other diverse communities such as Lancaster and El Centro and Imperial County. See, they'd like to paint this for years as just richer white people out in the suburbs who are going to block the poor homeless, often people of color, from coming into their communities. And then they went out there into the real world, and it took years, and they realized, no, this is the way it is with a lot of people in suburbia. They don't want your homeless, dumpy housing set up.
Wilma Wu, let's go back to her in Hacienda Heights. She went to the town hall meeting, and there were hundreds of residents, mostly Chinese Americans, screaming and jeering at the officials, including an LA County Sheriff's deputy who spoke about helping homeless veterans. Ooh, wow. Even the homeless veterans representative didn't get a warm response.
And
if you remember a few years ago when Irvine tried to put a homeless encampment near a school and a park, I believe it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
11 busloads of Chinese families.
That's right.
Adding up to hundreds and hundreds of Chinese Americans showed up at the supervisors meeting in Orange County to tell them no way in hell are you going to do this. And the county had to back down because it turns out a lot of the Chinese immigrants here want to have a clean, safe environment. And we're all entitled to have that. If we worked to have a nice house in the suburbs, we are going to keep it that way. Screw you if you think otherwise and you want to bring hundreds of crazy people into our neighborhood. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Nobody wants to live that way, and the skin color and their ethnic background don't matter. It's about wanting to live in a decent environment. Karthik,
a tricky word to use. This is what they assimilate into. No, this dawns on everybody.
That's what you aspire
to. Who works hard, right, and gets a nice home and a nice neighborhood. They like it, and they don't want you bringing in stinking homeless people. I remember we had this problem in Orange County for years, John, with the rehab homes.
Yes,
it was the same thing. Nobody wants those either.
No, we're not going to have a social experiment in our neighborhood. All right? There's plenty of empty.
We worked hard for this, right?
No, and it's not that they suddenly assimilated.
This is the other part of the American dream, which isn't discussed because it's supposedly not politically correct.
But for decades and decades, it was the American dream, and it still is. And it's time to be proud of that. It's time to say it out loud. And even if it sounds corny, you say, you know what? I want the American dream, and here's my version of it. And I have every right to it. And guess what? I want a green lawn, a swimming pool, a driveway with two cars. I want a house with three bedrooms. I want a couple of kids and a dog and a cat. And that's what I'm aspiring to. Same thing for my spouse. Same thing for my kids. If you don't like it, go screw yourself. Not your business. Not your call. You're already stealing enough of that tax money from me to finance all your failed social experiments. You're not bringing your social experiment into my neighborhood. And you just got to stop feeling guilty about that. Stop apologizing for it and be proud of it. You got what you wanted because you worked for it. You did the right thing.
And I mean, listeners always leave a message like this on the voice line or on the emails. If they want to provide for the homeless so much, why don't they let them live in, on their street?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. You turn this around on these idiots. I would imagine, Karthik, where do you live? And how would you like a nice big homeless settlement next door to your house, Karthik?
Yeah. Where do you think all the people on that LA Times insane editorial board live? Where do you think they live? Do you think they live next to homeless shelters? No. They're all living in fancy suburbs, too.
Yeah. Remember, years ago, the county had a short-lived idea. They asked people in L.A. County if they wouldn't mind putting an accessory dwelling unit in their backyard for a homeless person to live in. I don't think they got anybody to respond to that,
And they never will. And all, you know what? If you feel like all your rights are being encroached upon, a lot of people feel that way, that they don't have any rights, that a homeless guy is allowed to take a dump on their front porch or in front of their business and there's no consequences, it's because you voluntarily gave up your rights because you allowed it to happen and you don't fight for this and you're too scared to fray of being called some name, a NIMBY or a phobe or an IST or whatever the hell else they come up with. Stop being afraid. Fight back. Get some gonads and fight back. Because you know what? Just because you have a right to have a nice house in the suburb doesn't mean you're going to keep it forever because other people are gunning for you. You have a target on your back and you're going to have to defend your right.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark is off today. We got Amy King live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.